Welcome into the Gym Closet. It is Tuesday, May 29th. Today we have an awesome interview with Dr. Wade Robinson, my dad, and we go over a bunch of really cool stuff for management styles and some different things, you know, tough decisions when it comes to hiring, firing. If you're in a management role or you're looking to be in a management role, it's a great interview with over 30 years of experience on his end. We also get into segments, and at the end we go over some of the different things with at Jordan.Hildreth and myself. Stay tuned for all of that. Again, if you haven't already, please follow us at the Gym Closet Podcast on IG and Facebook. Leave us a line with any questions or any topics that you would like to have discussed on the podcast. And let's get right into it with Dr. Wade Robinson. All right, today we are welcoming an extra special guest, Dr. Wade Robinson. He is the Executive Dean of Students at DMAC in Ankeny, and he's also my dad. So welcome into the Gym Closet.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so as you guys know, we're talking about education and furthering your education in this season, one step ahead at Crave Gym. So we are definitely having a theme to the Gym Closet here in the last couple episodes, the last couple weeks. And this week, as far as furthering your education, there's nobody that I know that has a higher education and you know, has continued throughout my entire life of being with higher education than my dad. He has his doctorate in, what would you get your doctorate in?
My doctorate's in higher education administration from the University of Nebraska.
And what would you get your master's in then?
Education administration, same field.
Same deal. Okay. And so he has been through the higher education in the kind of the enrollment and the management of, tell me a little bit more about kind of what, or tell everybody a little bit more about what it is that you've kind of done throughout your career and what specific, what do you do on a daily basis?
Sure.
And what's it all about?
I work in student services, and student services is everything at a college or university that is not teaching in the classroom. So all the things that students and parents do administratively, financial aid, admissions, counseling, advising, registration, student health, student activities, student housing, anything that goes on in the student's life at a college or university other than their work in the classroom is what I've done most of my career, which is about just a little under 30 years now in higher education.
You've been kind of the top and bottom, or have you always kind of been, when you got into that realm, were you always kind of the in charge of a lot of management as far as people goes in the university system?
No, I started in the lower levels of administration in a registrar's office working on registration systems. And so for the first couple years of my career, I didn't have any supervisory responsibilities. I went to school for my bachelor's, and then I started working at a college right as soon as I got my bachelor's degree. I started doing my master's degree while I was working full-time, and then I did my doctorate while I was working full-time as well. I went to college for 11 straight years from 1984 to 1995 to do my bachelor's, master's, and doctorate. And so the vast majority of that time, I was working full-time while doing the school. And then about 4 years into my career is when I took a position that involved supervising staff or managing staff. Started out with a staff of about 12, then went to 20 to 30. And the institution, Wichita State University, where I had the largest budget and the largest staff, there were about 350 full-time staff, a couple hundred part-time and volunteer staff and student workers, office budgets totaling in the area somewhere around, you know, 15, 20 million, a $90 million financial aid budget. So started very small, worked up to very large organizational structure. And today I'm the Executive Dean of Student Services at Des Moines Area Community College. My office is up on the Ankeny campus. And it's a great place to work.
What the hell made you go to school for 11 years? What kept driving you to push past your current level of education and continue to push forward and try to, you know, become more educated? And that's kind of the number one things that we're talking about this
this season, but what made you keep striving for excellence and keep driving forward?
The reason I went to college in the first place, I grew up on a farm in central Nebraska and had planned to farm. And then the financial crisis of the early 1980s hit, and that really was not going to be feasible. That was the reason I went and did my bachelor's degree starting in 1984. And then I got a job working at a school named Kearney State College, which later became the University of Nebraska at Kearney. But in order to advance and progress, you needed a master's, and then the highest degree in the field is a doctorate. The other reason I took advantage of it was they had tuition assistance programs where I worked, meaning I could get, you know, 3 or 6 hours a semester paid for by the university while I was working towards these degrees. And it just made sense to use that tuition waiver program to continue to get this education completed if that's the career that I thought I was going to be in, which I did. So that helped me clear through my doctorate, which I got in my PhD, which I got in 1995. I could get, you know, up to 6 hours a semester paid for through the tuition assistance program. You know, I think so if you have people who are listening to this who have employers who have a tuition assistance program, I strongly encourage people to take advantage of that. I think when you're looking for jobs, if young professionals or young people are looking to get into the workplace, look at the benefits program. Do they have tuition assistance? Do they have some type of reimbursement program? So if you successfully complete a class, take advantage of it from the minute you start in a job. Do not pass up on it, because, you know, early in your career, you may think that this is something that's not a big deal, but when you get married, have kids and a family, it's very hard to go back to school and, you know, work, do online courses or do evening classes or do something like that. So for me, it was simply about taking advantage of the employee benefit that was available. And then it ultimately had led to a very good career.
Obviously, that's a great point. We have, you know, we're paying on our student loans. And if I was lucky enough to come out without any. And because I credit that a lot to you and to the knowledge that you had of, you know, bringing credits into college and just driving me to do as much as I can while football was paying for it. So we get out, get married, and now we have debt again. So knowing that, and I'm sure a lot of you guys out there have that debt that, you know, if you can get assistance with it, that should be a no-brainer, just like you were talking about. But you also touched on the difficulty of going back to school with a family and with other responsibilities, but that's exactly what you did, isn't it? I mean, you were in school furthering your education with our family, and, you know, talk a little bit about that and some of the challenges that came with that.
Yeah. You know, you, Tyler, and Trevor were very young. You were younger than five when I was working, you know, to finish the doctorate program, which, you know, like I said, I finished in 1995. And so I would drive for night class a couple nights a week, but it was easier when you guys were that young because you weren't involved in, like, sports or, you know, different activities that like youth sports and different things. So when you have kids and your kids get older, their activities start taking up time, which are things that you don't want to miss, you know, for either classes, whether it be online or in person, or, you know, what they call web blended mixed delivery courses. So there's definitely a sacrifice in the trade, but there are not many jobs that you take these days that do not require a good piece of education past high school. And working at Des Moines Area Community College, you know, I really learned everything from just skill enhancement development. You don't need a full associate's degree to earn a very good living in many different of the skilled trades fields, but you definitely will need to continue your education, you know, past high school for the long-term career that most people want, in the salary that they want, you know, for the benefits that they want, and retirement that they want. All those things come together.
Sure. So changing into kind of today's, you know, with your management and kind of your position that you hold today, you know, I listened to Andy Frisella. He's the MF CEO Project, the Motherfucking CEO Project is his podcast. And he touches on a lot of, like, You know, whether you're sweeping the floor or you own, you know, a multi-million dollar business, running your life and running your job as the CEO and doing the best that you can and treating it like it's the most important thing, which it should be to you, and really stepping up. So, you know, you being in the management position, what's kind of your management style, or I guess some of your philosophies when it comes to managing people? I know from experience a little bit, but I not as much as you, but there's difficulties whenever there's, you know, multiple people involved. So, you know, talk a little bit about your philosophies and kind of the culture that you try to set. And a lot of it comes in kind of what we've talked about in the past in this podcast is the coaching aspect and the culture that you set as a head coach or an assistant coach or any team that you're going to be coaching. It's a lot, I assume, like the culture and the team that you want to create as a, in a management role. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, for those individuals who have not supervised people and been accountable for hiring, firing, evaluation, pay raises and different things, it can be very easy and it can be very hard. I think the best rule of thumb is you simply want to treat people like you want to be treated. You want to be treated with respect. You want to be treated as a meaningful employee and someone who has purpose in the organization. You want to be fairly compensated. You really, I think, just want those basic things as an employee and a supervisor. So to me, that's the basic thing I always look at is treat people like you'd like to be treated. Treat them as adults and professionals and expect them to work as adults and professionals in the environment that they're in. And the unfortunate part and the reason it's very hard when you end up supervising people is not everyone has that same motivation as you do. So whether it's the work ethic or the professional goal or the company outcome that you want, you know, some folks aren't going to see it the same way. And so there's a real balance. How do you change your view to help them achieve the goals that you want? And a whole lot of it's about making good hires. If you hire good people who have the basic philosophy, you have less, you know, issues with employee retention or employee performance. Making a bad hire will stay with you for a long time. It's not always easy then to transition when, you know, staff philosophy doesn't meet yours and some things like that. But, you know, as a supervisor, you really have to think about, what motivates the people? What are they looking for? And then how do you meet that goal to kind of give them the things that they like to do, whether that's professional development, travel, training, education, time off with their family, just different things. It's really hard. And also as a supervisor, you have to be prepared to make some really, really hard decisions, which you may be very uncomfortable doing or never thought you'd be in the position to do. But that comes with the territory of management, supervision, and oversight of staff.
You touched on, you know, creating that team and, you know, having a good hire. What are some of the things in the gym industry, in the fitness industry, you can very easily see a passion, A, and B, an education. And those are kind of really the only two things. So it's a little bit simplified in the fitness industry, in my opinion. What do you look for in an industry where it you may not immediately be able to see, like, I have a ton of passion for higher education, or is there people out there with a lot of passion coming into these jobs, or is it something that, you know, that you just have to kind of evaluate resumes, or kind of what's your process in finding that right person?
Well, I think, like, let's take your profession. So in the fitness or industry, you need people who relate well to people, who are outgoing, who are good communicators. That's just the nature of the beast in the fitness and wellness industry.
Sure.
You have to role model. You have to be a great example. I, for example, as a slightly overweight middle-aged man, probably would not be a great motivator in the fitness industry. So those are some things you're looking for. Like in higher education, I'm looking for customer service, ability to communicate, relate to people, outgoing, prompt. And, you know, there's something, just be at the job on time is something for everything.
Oh, definitely.
But I think you have to look at each position. So maybe in the fitness industry, you need someone who is very technical and can do some of the technology things that, you know, you want to integrate into the workouts and the performance.
Sure.
They have a unique skill set, and they may not be as good communicating in some ways with the public as the people you want doing the one-on-one training.
Sure.
In my business, you want people who are very good with some technical skills, who may not be doing frontline customer service, and you have your frontline customer service people who really need to be able to de-escalate angry people, handle negative situations, troubleshoot, understand the whole college and know where to send people. You may have people in the financial side of the house who need to be good with spreadsheets, numbers, balancing the checkbook. They may not have to be great with the public, but they really need to know their specialized piece. And so when I look at it, it's really job specific about what skills we need to bring to the table. But the one thing I found over 20 plus years is that people have to bring the ability to communicate, the ability to get along with other coworkers, and a willingness to change to the table, because things change. You know, I don't care if it's the fitness industry, I don't care if it's higher education. Things change, the way you do business, the way technology impacts you, the way the customer wants to be served, the way that they see themselves as a customer, so to speak. And that's been a huge change in higher education. Nobody wants to use the word customer, but a student is a customer, and they have many different choices where they can go, just like there's many, many different gyms or facilities that a person can choose in the fitness industry. So you have to say what sets you apart, what delineates you from the competition, what niche do you serve, and then you really have to accentuate that. And you really need to hire to your niche and what you're saying you do different from a customer service perspective. So those are things, you know, in general, hiring and supervision, that I think are really important.
Sure. So with all of that, you know, that's really valuable information and stuff that will help either anybody in a management role, new to a management role, or even, you know, someone trying to get a job. Though that gives insight on what, you know, the supervisors are looking for. What do you believe, what brought your work ethic along? I knew you grew up on a farm, and that's going to be a huge part of this as well. But, you know, growing up, you always coached us. You always were, you were always our coach up until like high school. And those are a lot of the different things that I think that you tried to instill in us with that hard work and that kind of stuff. What in your opinion, you know, seeded that for you? And then how did your efforts, if they did, how do you feel like you wanted to, pass those on to not only us as your kids, but I mean, a lot of other kids that you were coaching as well.
Well, I think a lot of it was growing up on the farm. So my parents, that you know, helped instill different values, work ethic, honesty, integrity, you know, being true to yourself, you know, not lying, all these different things. And it's very hard in today's environment when you see a lot of dishonesty and different things out there, and you know, people have different role models. So for me, the whole thing always all along was, whether it was with, you know, you guys in youth sports or even at work, you know, you build trust with people over a long period of time. You lose it very quickly. So if you're not willing to work as hard as you're expecting people to work, they will see that very quickly, and they'll check out, and they will not support your organization. So, you know, for me with the youth sports, I just wanted, really, all that mattered was, did you want to be there? Sure. I don't want somebody there whose parents wanted them to be there, because that never ended very well. And if you're going to start it, then you're going to give it your all, and you're going to commit to it. So, you know, from the standpoint of the youth sports, like coaching you guys or coaching the other kids, was just simply do your best. Don't, you know, you can't do football at any level and not care, because you'll get hurt. You can't do a sport and not commit to it, because then you hurt the team. So I think if you can always talk about the team aspect of it and how everybody works together, that's really important. That carries over into the workplace. So really, I like to lead by example. I like to be there early, whether it means stay late. Working long hours doesn't mean you're a good employee, but being productive while you're working is. And so I don't care, you know, what the job or what the industry is. Your values of honesty, ethics, integrity are really critical. And that's what I think people have to be prepared for. You know, one of the things that I learned, which I never thought would happen to me, I was fired from my last job. I never envisioned that happening. And what happened was, there was leadership at an organization that really wasn't congruent with my beliefs, my ethics, my integrity, and it was just a difference of doing business. And so for me, that was an eye-opening experience, because I never envisioned or planned for that. What I would strongly encourage, you know, anyone listening to this, and it's not new, is you need to have plan A, B, C, and D in your life, whether that's financial planning, whether it's professional, whether it's, you know, what else can I do professionally? What would I like to do? Where are my interests? If things were to suddenly, you know, if I were to lose my job today, you know, what would I do and how would I handle it? A lot of that is are you prepared financially? Are you able to do some things that you weren't expecting? Do you have the education and the training? We'll fall back on that part of the conversation. You need to be preparing and training for the next job, for the next opportunity, and for the next change that comes in your life. And so I think that's really important, you know, for people to understand. And so you may be in a position not early in your career, although it can happen at any time in your career, where someone asks you to compromise your values, whether it's do something unethical or do something illegal. If it's something unethical, then you have to make a choice as a person whether you want to stay in such an environment. If it's illegal, in my mind, there's no choice. You don't do it. And, you know, it's really important that people know the law, know that they have options, know to document things. It can happen anytime in any workplace, anywhere. And I think that, you know, people develop their core values very young, and many people can have an influence on that. And you just have to know that professionally you need to hold to those core values, and be prepared for some incredibly unexpected things to happen.
Sure. And I mean, you hear about that so much with all, I mean, how many different companies have been in the news lately, you know, between the Wells Fargo type of stuff and all, I mean, it's everywhere. And so, I mean, that's a great point. Not only that, but the thing that really ties in, I think, with what we're talking about this season is what you had said about preparing for the next thing. And I think that is ultimately the exact message that we want to portray to all of our athletes is, you know, it might not be a different job. It may be moving up in a company. It may be doing something else. But preparing for that next step is furthering your education and really, you know, making sure that you take conscious steps to push forward and to continue to learn and you know, prepare yourself for that next step. And I think that's a really good thing to end on here. I don't know, do you have anything else to add here real quick? I think we're close to time, but if...
The only thing I'd add is it's a very unique time in history. When you look at the Me Too movement and you look at all the things happening in the world today where people are coming forward and talking about things, sexual harassment, sexual misconduct, sexual assault, things that they've never been comfortable talking about before, it's a time for change. I think it's a tremendous time for change. And I think people, hopefully we can look back on this time and say, this was a time of tremendous positive change, and that people were able to step forward, speak toward their values, speak to their integrity. You know, people have felt that they didn't have a voice, that they couldn't, you know, speak, that they couldn't say something because they didn't have They feared retaliation and loss of their job. You know, who would have ever thought Bill Cosby would be convicted? Who would have ever thought Harvey Weinstein, you know, would be in handcuffs and facing other types of charges? I just think it's a great time for people to stand up and hold true to their views, their values, and their ethics, and to make a difference. And so I would encourage all of the people listening to this, do that.
And I think you've kind of, being in the higher education, I mean, a lot of these things, I mean, they're becoming worldwide now and you know, in America and stuff. But before, I think that a lot of this has started in the college ranks and the people that, you know, that protest. And that's the age where a lot of it kind of sparks. Have you seen that a lot in your career at that level with different organizations?
It's interesting. Like there, in my career, there has not been a lot of social activism in higher education, but in higher education previously, that's where it happened. That's really? Where the sit-ins, the protests, the uprisings, the voices happened back for the Vietnam War,
sure.
For civil rights. It started with college students. So when you talk about the civil rights movement, there's some great books out there to read and understand how college students made that happen. In my time, there really hasn't been that much social activism.
Really?
But, you know, hopefully there's more out there, you know, that people are willing to stand up and make a, say something and take place. I mean, if you just Google my name, if you Google Wade Robinson and Wichita State University, you can read the whole situation that I was involved in. And it just, it makes me feel better that people have the courage to stand up now and, are being respected for their opinion and not just shut down. So I hope people will do that more as the future unfolds.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for jumping on here. You know, this has been a really valuable conversation, I think. And for everybody out there, you know, if you do have any questions or anything, definitely drop us a line and I can get a hold of Wade anytime. So if you do have any questions for him or anything, definitely let us know at the Gym Closet Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. We really appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. All right, now let's jump into some segments. I'm here joined by, as always, at Jordan.Hildreth. And today we got a new addition to the Gym Closet, doing some video, doing some research for us if we need any. Is it at Zach Downs? What's your handle?
Zach Downs 1, I believe.
At Zach Downs 1, make it difficult. At Zach Downs 1. So if you want to check out, and I am at TR Cravestrong, Crave with a K. Today we're going to get into some segments that we haven't done in a couple weeks. So we're going to try to start including these two. Our interviews have just been so good that we haven't had time to include a lot of these segments, and we get long-winded ourselves. So when you're adding those to another long interview with people that we'd rather hear from than us, then it gets to be a long thing. And camera, there's a cap on the camera.
Yeah, I got that. I was just trying to figure out how to turn the flash off.
Okay, cool. Yeah, make sure the cap's not on. That'd be a lot of film wasted. So what, you just got back in town, huh?
I just got back from a bachelor party in Branson, Missouri.
Nice. Branson's like...
It's like an old people version of the Ozarks, yes, basically.
Yeah, it's like the best place to go if you're like 72 years old.
Hey, there were... But
you were on a lake. I mean...
We were on a lake, and then the bar we went out to... at night, someplace called The Rock. It was actually pretty popping, dude, with like a lot of kids our age. They had two live bands that were actually really fucking good.
Oh, that's sweet.
Do you consider yourself a kid?
Yes.
Okay. Still a kid. Yeah, still a 25-year-old kid.
I was acting like a fucking kid at that bar.
That's awesome. Do you bring any segments with you today?
I did not, unfortunately, so I'm probably just going to talk about your segment.
Wow. Okay.
I know it.
So unprepared.
And just really frazzled.
It's been a long day.
I'm having a pretty hard time thinking right now. So
after a bachelor party weekend, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So we're gonna start a new athlete highlight. So with this season, we are in cardio season with One Step Ahead. So everybody knows that already. But our athlete slash coach highlight today. We're gonna do a quick shout out to Trace. He's a coach here. He just did the CrossFit workout Murph.
The Murph. It's do you not know CrossFit. About it? It's a military workout.
That's a military workout.
So it's named after a Navy SEAL who was killed in 2005.
I think it's a CrossFit workout, but
type,
it's
it's military. It's all body weight. So what it's
oh is it
you
okay.
Run 1 mile, you do 100 pull-ups, you do 200 push-ups, you do 300 squats, and you run another mile with a 20-pound vest.
Ashley, your sister Zach, was doing that today too. She did it today in this heat. I can't imagine. Jeez. And so did so today must have been Memorial Day, obviously. Yep. doing it for that reason. And Trace was doing it with I forget the charity, and I'll have to have him on here to talk about it. But so he had to wear a 40-pound vest and do Murph for this charity event.
He did
today.
The whole thing with the 40-pound vest.
Yes,
on?
Holy the entire thing.
Moly.
Yeah, stud muffin, right? but that was really difficult. So huge shout out to him. And we just I just made a video and posted a video about all of our athletes doing really cool things. And so shout out to everybody that is not only on that video, because I couldn't include everyone, leaving it around a minute and a half, but all of our athletes. Like, that video really represented who we are at Crave Gym, because all of us do different athletic activities, but we're all athletes. And that's why we train here, is to do, you know, the strength and conditioning portion of our training is here. But we have people that run marathons. We have people that run obstacle races, people that do Andy. Shout out to Andy Johnson. He did a ruck that was just ridiculous,
the,
I think.
What's it called? I've done it before. It's in New Mexico. It's in White Sands, New Mexico.
Okay.
He did it with a rucksack on, a 50-pound rucksack. It's 26 miles. It's a marathon through the desert. It's to commemorate the Trail of Tears, pretty much.
Okay.
Damn it. What is the name of it?
I know what it is. Let's have our researcher research this.
New Mexico Santa Fe Trail of Cheers.
Trail of
Tears. Or just
Tears.
Look up what,
or like, just look up Andy Johnson's deal, too. But anyway, we'll find out what it's actually called.
That, but I mean, that thing is damn near impossible.
It's rough.
And he did the whole thing with a 50-pound sack on his
back.
That's
beast mode.
Crazy.
Yeah.
He said he had to change his shoes three times.
Just because
they were
just
so ruined.
Really? That's
race.
Insane.
What was it one more time?
I would just go to his Facebook, and then I bet it's on his. I'm going to remember it like the second.
Right when he pulls it up. But but huge, you know, huge. Shout out and highlight here in this segment to all of our athletes doing really cool stuff here. As spring comes along, you get outside and you can just see, you know, even people just, you know, playing City League volleyball and stuff like that. That's what we do at Crave. You know, we do those races, we run marathons,
Baton
we do
death
all
march.
Of it. Baton?
Baton Death March.
Baton Death March. Okay. Good research. Zach was a little slow. Nice.
I had to log into Facebook.
All right. So just ill-prepared over here for his first time out, but he'll get there.
Hey, it's coming along. Give me a little bit.
It's a learning curve today. But, huge shout-out to everybody that's doing that. Huge shout-out to also the guys doing bodybuilding as well. You know, that's another sport that we have several athletes doing some stuff. You know, whole bunch of fun stuff going on. And that video, I can say, like, that video that I made was, like, in my mind represented more of who we are than, like, anything that I've done in the past.
Yeah.
Just because it was, like, a shout-out to all of the cool athletes
and kind of
having
happened,
fun.
Like,
and
on the same weekend, didn't it, basically?
Yeah.
Like, everybody did that.
Yeah,
kind of,
and that's what kind of inspired me is because everybody started sharing, like, what they had done that weekend on our pages.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, shit. Everybody, let's just, you know, email me more photos and let's tie this together with showing, you know, people maybe that don't know about Crave or people. So we're going to put a bunch of money behind pushing that information out, which is really cool.
I thought, I had to laugh. I think it was Danielle Strand. She commented on it.
Oh,
she's like, I made the
powerlifting
video.
Yeah.
But I read that. I was like, oh, that was nice of her to put all her pictures in this video and add some music to it. I thought she like.
Oh, she you
yeah,
said that
yeah,
she
I,
made it?
Yeah,
oh,
I did not. I got it now, but I was like, "George, you fucking idiot!" Because I'm like, "Why would she do that? That's kind of weird. This is nice, though."
Yeah, that's really cool of her to put
to
up
Tyler
her fellow
and Tyler
athletes.
To post it. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, and then I watched. It, and I was like, "Oh,"
because she said
she's
I made a video,
yeah,
but
she said
I
made the
made
video.
The video. Yeah. Oh,
that's open for interpretation.
That is. Yeah. Same.
Never mind all the other information I had.
Yeah.
You posted it.
That's
know,
all right.
All that, whatever.
She made it.
She made the video. Yep. But yeah, and then I forgot about them too. Her and Lindsay. And Lindsay both did powerlifting push-pull competition, and then Steve did a strongman and actually won the novice strongman, which was awesome for his first time out. And so, like, seeing things like that is awesome, and it's really why I do what I do, and it's inspiring to hopefully all of our athletes to you know, make the most out of their training so that they can do some of these fun things and make the most out of life. So
that being said, if you do something, let us know. We'll give you a shout out.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the first time I made a video like that, but I want to continue to make like really, really cool videos of our athletes doing really, really cool shit. Kind of like that. Have you seen those videos that go viral that are like, they're like, people are cool. Or like humans are really sweet,
and they humans are awesome.
Humans are awesome.
2017, yeah. 2018. Yeah.
So like humans are awesome. Like videos are like, it's just like a reel of like 100 different people doing 100 crazy.
Oh, that's cool.
Crazy things. Yeah. And so it's like those do like dirt bikes and all just crazy shit. But it's really cool. And so like I want to continue to try to do that with our athletes and just keep. Keep giving you guys shout outs. So, congratulations to everybody that has done that. All right. So I got two segments. I have a on the road again, and I have a alpha beta. What do we want to do first?
Let's do on the road again first.
On the road again. Okay. So on the road again, this segment is dedicated to just anything that has to do with kind of driving and, all that kind of stuff. So I took notes on GMA, on Good Morning America's segment. They did a 10-minute segment, and they were completely serious about this. So they had a 10-minute segment talking about people turning down train tracks because their GPS told them to turn left or turn right when the GPS was clearly talking about a parallel... Right? It was a parallel street... But, like, a little bit farther.
Yeah.
Like, someone actually, like, she got out of the car so she didn't die.
God.
But her car got demolished because it was the evening and it was, the turn left in 50 feet. And she turned left down this train track and, like, got out of her car because a train was, like, just barreling down on her. What the fuck is she doing? It's bad, right? But then... GMA goes on there and humors these people, and they take the segment, and the guy, the reporter's driving along in his car to test this theory, and the GPS does say turn right ahead, and so he's like,
so
yeah,
how can we blame
I could really right. That's what they were saying, and I was like, wait, what? No. That's not how it fucking works. Open your eyes, people. Like, what the fuck is going on? If that's the...
That's Michael Scott levels of stupid, dude.
Oh.
Have you seen that episode of The Office?
No,
I haven't. Drives into the lake? But that was like satire in 2005, not the real fucking
right.
world.
This is,
and train
this
tracks.
This is reality and train tracks. And they were so serious about being like, well, the
so
GPS
careful.
Companies... Should yes, oh. This was like a PSA, and then they were saying that the GPS companies should probably put like after the railroad turn left.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just thinking, open your fucking eyes and don't turn down railroad tracks.
I regularly try to avoid driving down railroad tracks.
This is just in a
just
general,
like,
yeah, that's just a general
rule of thumb.
Yeah, just a general rule of thumb that just makes sense. So I was mind boggled. That this was an actual story and people were actually having this issue.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
To switch subjects here real quick, I just learned this today. The GPS is actually owned by the United States government and controlled by the Air Force, and they give it to everybody through free applications, but at any point could shut off anybody's GPS.
Really?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it's all
even,
done by them. All
but,
of it.
But Google runs their own roads and stuff.
I should have
on for Google Maps.
That's true. I should have looked into it a little more. I just read that.
But they could probably have to license out a... Because they do the Google Maps for, like, pictures and videos and stuff so that you can, like, search shit.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've done those Google cars for GPS purposes.
That's true. Yeah.
We'll have to dive into
that. That's interesting.
Zach, if as we're going, if you find any further information on GPS...
And, yeah, so it says, yes, it is the U.S. System. The U.S. won't shut it down. as there are now civilian users who depend on it.
A little too strongly.
It doesn't confer military advantage any longer to turn it off. So. Yeah.
Like
super. But it is a U.S. system. So yeah. Yes,
is it? That's,
it is controlled by them.
That's crazy.
The Russians have something called GLONASS.
Same thing?
That's how you pronounce it. Yeah. And it's pretty much the same thing. And then Indians and Chinese are working on their own compatible systems as well.
Interesting.
That's really interesting.
Would we not have GPS if we went to Russia or China?
Yeah.
Would we not have maps?
Well,
that would be a little hard.
I think that it would be – I think Americans – as Americans, we would still have GPS.
Like through the U.S.
Oh, but the U.S. company.
Okay. U.S. company. Yeah,
because I think they probably did the world, I would think.
Yep.
Because it's probably from our
especially
satellites.
If it was a
just like
tactical
the country
purpose.
Our country has satellites that aren't other countries have their own satellites and stuff.
So there,
that's super interesting.
There's a segment today I learned.
Yeah, today I learned.
Yeah,
I
so
like that one too.
It doesn't go by satellites though, which is interesting. It's a land-based technology.
So would
like
it be like from Google
systems.
Google cars and shit?
No, I think they'd have like some kind of sonar or something.
Oh, okay.
That's
trippy. That's crazy because obviously some people take it
a little
way
too seriously, apparently.
Yeah, and like I don't understand how do you not like I looked and I said this out loud and Amber was just like what the fuck are you talking about? But I was like, look out your front window. Like I was super livid at my TV. So
you got pretty loud right now. I mean, I believe it.
Yeah, I was like, this is not going. This is not a 10-minute segment on Good Morning America.
No.
That I'm watching someone accidentally turn down. I mean, yes, that's the satire that they were talking about turning into a lake.
Right.
Because you're not looking forward. You're just.
We were supposed to make fun of Michael Scott and laugh because nobody's really that
so
dumb.
What? So what happens? I mean, what do you think about these the drive yourself cars that.
I bet it's smart enough to figure it out.
Right. I would think so too. Like, I think that human error needs to be taken out. Either that person should not be driving or give them a car, an automated car so that they can
stop trying to kill the rest of us.
Yeah, God. Or themselves. I mean, yeah. Trains are.
That was a good one.
Trains are bad move. Yeah, right? On the road again. That was a very interesting. But moving on, we're going to jump into. I got an alpha beta. Unless you can think of any other ones.
I can't. Oh, wait, no. Actually, I've got a good food for thought. It's not that serious, but it's good. If you ever have a bachelor party, invite somebody that loves to cook. We
nice.
Had one guy cook for us breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and he made, like, quiche in the mornings. And like,
nice.
Like he did all this.
That's clutch
stuff.
When you're drunk
oh
and hungover.
My
and
God.
Yeah. In all aspects of a bachelor party.
What did Tyler or Travis was saying, like, if you weren't here, guy, we'd be eating fucking Pop-Tarts and cereal.
Right, yeah. And instead, we get to eat quiche. That sounds like
a
phenomenal
so food for
change
thought.
Of pace. Food for thought. Literally food.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I love that. And then let's get into
alpha beta.
Our alpha beta.
You seem pretty excited about this.
Yeah, I thought about this one.
You have to guess,
when
do you think you know which way I'm going to lean? If you're guessing.
I know you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think you'll... So I was in a situation where I completely alpha'd the fuck out of this situation, I think. And I just wanted to confirm with everybody. So alpha beta, carrying your groceries in and making more than one trip is very beta.
Beta.
Always make one trip.
Yeah.
One trip.
It'll
right?
be one trip no matter how many groceries I have.
Exactly.
My arm will be full.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So I had like... So Amber's carrying Pearson, and I was looking at the back of the car, and I was like,
"Oh man,
that's a lot of bags." I was like, "It's time to step the fuck up." So I loaded my one arm. Well, I had my door arm, so I had like one arm lined with bags all the way up to my bicep, with bags in my hand, and I loaded my other arm up, and so I'm just barely walking in and turn the doorknob. As I turn the doorknob, she's walking out. I was like, Already got this, honey.
Don't
I'm
worry
good to
about
go.
It.
Yeah, you just mind that baby in there. I got the groceries, so I thought I completely alphaed the situation.
Yeah,
so.
Dude. No, and it's like cause to get upset if people take more than one trip.
I would absolutely.
I did. So kind of feeding off of that, I was carrying all my groceries in. I had my gym bag, my backpack, and then a shitload of groceries. And I live on the second floor, so I'm like. Struggling to get through this door and going up the second floor, and I see this kid in front of me, and I just it just popped in my head. I was like, that kid looks like a bitch. Like, I thought that out loud. I was like, that kid looks like a Sally.
That's and a then, beta
so,
kid.
And he starts heading towards the elevator. So I get more mad at him. I'm like, oh, this, he's going up the elevator. Like, what kind of dude? We live on four floors. Just, I'm carrying all these bags upstairs.
Yeah.
Use the stairs. And then I get to the second floor. He took it to the second floor. This kid used one an floor. Elevator to go to the second floor while I'm fucking struggle bussing with all these things. And I looked
that
right at him.
That is hilarious.
He knew it, too. I looked right at him. I was like.
You just alphaed the shit out of him. I love that. Yeah, I have a giant bag now because I had three bags that I was carrying around, like, for everything.
Yeah.
So I had my camera bag, my gym bag with all my supplements and like, gym clothes, and then I had my computer bag that I just carried with me everywhere I went. And so I got this big, like, military duffel bag, backpack-looking thing.
It is a large bag.
It's a big bag, but it's so fucking comfortable. And, like, if I put it on his backpack, can't even tell I'm wearing it, but I usually use it as like a duffel bag, but it fits everything. It has this like slotted compartments, which I love too, so I'm calling that an alpha bag as well, because it includes everything that I would need in that bag. So, but let's see, anything else that we want to close with here? Zach, thanks for the research. Actually came in very handy on the GPS thing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
little more tip. They actually have these new like clips for carrying your groceries that look definitely like something I would invest.
Oh,
in.
Yes.
So basically load
they're
up
little,
all your groceries.
Yeah, they're little hangers.
On
yep.
like a climbing hook pretty much.
I've seen that.
And then, yeah.
I've seen that.
It makes life a lot easier for you.
Yeah, so that I've seen those actually too. I've also seen they look like hangers, but they're like super, super like heavy duty, and they're you turn them upside down and they have like the hanger part of them is like super big plastic with like a bunch of grooves in them. And I can't remember if they weren't for holding groceries. They were for holding something else. But I think they were for like putting something heavy in your closet or something. I can't remember. We'll have to figure that out later too. But, thank you. Huge thanks again to my dad for doing that interview. And we are out of here. Again, follow us at The Gym Closet Podcast on Instagram, Facebook. Take a look at all that. Comment on any of our pictures or shoot us a DM if you have anything that you would want to talk about, anything that you have questions on, fitness related or anything really. We'll try to answer everything, and we got a new researcher in here for any of the hard hitting questions that we might have to look up as well. So thank you again. I am at TR Crave Strong, Crave with a K. Follow us at Crave Gym on all social media, or it's actually Crave Gym WDM now, or Crave Gym, just Crave Gym, or soon to be opened up Crave Gym Waukee. Walls are up. I'm super excited.
Woo!
Whoa, yeah. Steel's up, and it's exciting. So we are excited to expand out that way. And don't forget, if you don't already, follow at Jordan.Hildreth and at Zach Downs.
Little correction, yeah. Zach_Downs_1. So
just because the one wasn't difficult enough, let's add two underscores to this. Okay, at
I feel like the original was taken
at Zach_Downs_1.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
So follow him as well. He is actually running our Crave Gym social media too. So all of the cool posts and all of the IG stories and the snaps and all of our cool stuff that we got rolling, are a lot of it's because of him. So thank you for doing all of that, and we are out of here.
Peace. See you later.
Later.